The Brooklyn Nets don't have Kevin Durant or Ben Simmons, but the Lakers don't have LeBron James or Anthony Davis. The fewest stars? Is that who's going to be in the end? The winner or the loser? That's what it kind of felt like here in Brooklyn. But the Nets are able to take down the Lakers 121-104. We're going to break down the whole game, what you can make of a full team performance from Brooklyn, who ended up running 11 men deep. We are going to break it all down. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I am Doug Norrie, the owner and operator of DFSR.com. If you need projections for FanDuel or DraftKings, go and check out DFSR.com. Free trial is going to get you started over there. And just so you know, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started. All right, coming at you following the Lakers and Nets, 121-104 for Brooklyn, 17-point victory at home against the visiting Los Angeles Lakers. And to start this game, like I said in the open, this game is more about probably who isn't playing than it was about who is playing. So we are going to break down some of what the Nets did in this game. Going to break down the play of the bench specifically and how Jacques Vaughn chose to run his lineups tonight, which is a bit different than we've seen in the past from Brooklyn specifically, and with how Jacques just kind of, especially around some of the players who ended up closing this game. But the state of the NBA at this point, sometimes you are going to get games where the best players don't play. That seems to be a recurring theme in how the NBA sort of has been handled this season. Some of it's by injury, some of it's by scheduling, some of it's by rest, but we often are dealt across the league with games that just are without the biggest superstars in the game. Now, obviously for some of these guys, it's injury and no one's ever going to, you know, put someone on blast for injuries. Injuries happen. That's the way the state of the sport is. These guys are resting, and that's just the way it is. So it's really not a general complaint. It just is what it is. You think you see Lakers, Nets on the schedule at the beginning of the year or even a month ago or a week ago. I mean, maybe not with the Durant thing, but and you think to yourself, hey, this is going to be one of those marquee matchups. Anthony Davis, he's actually getting healthy. Maybe we're going to see a real kind of showdown here in terms of Lakers Nets. And what you get are no Kevin Durant for the Nets. Obviously, he's still out with a knee injury. No Ben Simmons, who has now missed his another game. For him, he's out with knee soreness. Can talk about that in a little bit. No LeBron James for the Lakers, and no Anthony Davis for the Lakers. And what you end up getting is something like a Kyrie Irving and some of the Nets guys, and then a bunch of spare parts like Russ Westbrook and Dennis Schroeder and spare parts for the Los Angeles Lakers. And that ends up being what the game kind of looks like. And frankly, for a lot of this game, it had the feel of a bunch of superstars were out of this game. That was just the general sort of feeling that was running through the state of this game. At times it looked really, really ugly. It looked like a game that was featuring heavy minutes from, you know, at least on the Lakers side, a bunch of guys who don't play all that much and maybe one of the weaker benches in the entire league in terms of just role players and actual NBA talent. But when you look at it from a Nets standpoint, you have to say to yourself, hey, this is absolutely a must-win game. Like, no Ben Simmons, no Kevin Durant, and it really should be no problem. Nets came into this game as -9 home favorites. That feels about right, even without the guys they didn't have, because with the Lakers, without Kevin Durant, without LeBron James and without Anthony Davis, there is a massive drop-off in talent on that team that you actually don't see as much when it comes to the Nets. And this is why the Nets have been able to have the record they have this season, even with sort of recency issues around maybe, you know, the win-loss record not looking maybe exactly where you thought it would be. This is still a much deeper team and a much more talented team without Durant and Simmons than the Lakers are without LeBron and AD. And it was just very, very obvious from what you could see on the court. Like they just, the Lakers did not have the firepower to make up, and really the talent or just like the overall spacing or really all the sort of requisite pieces that you need to be a really viable NBA team. I would call this Lakers team that the Nets played tonight like barely an NBA team. Like, and that's not to, you know, run these guys too much through the through the mill here. It just is what it is. A team led by Westbrook coming off the bench that's starting Dennis Schroeder and, you know, Pat Beverly, Thomas Bryant, who, you know, at times looked okay in this game, Troy Brown Jr., and Rui Hachimura, who they just picked up for a bunch of second rounders, and Kendrick Nunn. Like, this should be a game that the Nets had to walk into this one and say, absolute must win. And we've had situations with the Nets this season, and even, and more specifically recently, where the games that it felt like they should have been clear, clear wins, I'm looking at you, Pistons game, that they did not come out with it. So none of these things with the Nets are ever surefire. We've seen too many examples from the team sort of just letting down against undermanned squads. They lost to the Pistons recently. They lost to the Spurs recently. Yeah, they beat a full-strength Warriors team. They beat the Jazz. They're coming off a nice win against the Knicks over the weekend. But it's not like this is a team that you have probably at times full trust in when it comes to being able to take care of business against teams with less talent. So even though the Nets go into this game minus nine, and you know, you look across the court and you see LeBron in street clothes and Anthony Davis in street clothes, there probably is a piece of you, and me too, as Nets fans and Nets folks and folks that watch these games every single night, that says to yourself, hey, I'm not going to probably feel amazing until the final whistle. And this game had a feel of that. There was definitely runs by the Lakers that had you saying to yourself, oh man, are we going through this again? Is this going to be another Pistons situation? Is this going to be another Spurs situation where a clearly inferior team has come in, and in this case, onto the Nets home court and are really, really putting up a fight even without two of their best players, two of the best players in the NBA? So that was the state of the game. In the end, the Nets are able to pull out the victory. 121-104, 17-point win. It felt a little closer than this at times, though. Once they were at around the 3-4 minute mark left to go, you felt like the game was in hand. And it came from a group of guys that are, it was Kyrie Irving and plus some names we haven't heard too much in Nets world recently. Names that had been effectively buried, guys who had not really been running any real minutes, had not been part of meaningful rotations for the Nets, had not been, definitely not been part of closing lineups for the Nets. And sometimes in the length and breadth of an NBA season, you are going to need games like this. You are going to need to not overtax everybody. You're going to need to see what you have from some maybe different combinations. And you're just going to be able to, you're just going to have to win a game that is out there to very much be won. And even with the Nets struggling at times and stumbling at times, this game had that feel. And it's nice to see that the Nets were actually able to take care of business because, again, these haven't been foregone conclusions for this team. This has not been go out and win every game that you're supposed to and maybe pick up a couple extra ones. Not since KD's gone down. That hasn't been the case for this team. And it was for a minute there looking like, you know, here we go again with this situation when it comes to the Lakers. But thankfully, the Nets were able to pull it out, take home the W, and it was on the back of some guys that we're going to talk about here in a second that, man, that you have to really commend them too, because they haven't been part of the rotation and they were able to come up with big games. So we're going to get into that in a second. First, I'm going to tell you about our friends over at FanDuel this year. The only app you need your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because of the number one sportsbook in America. That's FanDuel. If you're new to FanDuel, it's even better. They have so many great features that makes betting on sports very fun and very easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Read that again. You're going to get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads. Who will score a touchdown? Right now, you go over a couple weeks away, over still, you know, in the NFL schedule. Kansas City Chiefs plus 1.5 against the Eagles. I got to tell you right now, this isn't just an anti-Eagle. This is just an Eagles bias coming out here. Have to love the Chiefs plus 1.5. Mahomes, maybe not full health with a couple weeks off. This is the Chiefs we're talking about here. So take a look at FanDuel. Hammer that Chiefs 1.5. I kind of like that right now. I bet you that moves a little bit. FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get your paid winnings instantly. Join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, this game was definitely a game where it appeared like Jacque Vaughn wanted, maybe needed to say to himself, we need to see what some of these other guys can do. We can't, and I know the Kyrie Irving 39 minutes stands in stark contrast to that, but every other piece of this game does not. This was a game where the Nets ran all 11 guys that they had available. That was clear from the very beginning. These weren't just blowout minutes. These were the rotations that we saw very early on from Jacque Vaughn, where there was a commitment to get some of these bench guys that have not been playing very much into this game to run minutes. Now, is that easy to do when you see that LeBron and AD are on the bench in street clothes and you are looking at a team that, again, is made up of really questionable NBA talent at this point? I think as part of the planning, it was clear that the Nets felt like this was a situation that they could take advantage of when it came to running guys that hadn't played very much. So even in the first half, we saw all 11 guys get run. Every Net scored, it was had at least 2 points at halftime. So that was the situation that the Nets were dealing with. They had every guy had scored, every guy had played. And that is just not what we've seen from the Nets this year. It's actually been very tight rotations at times when they were really rolling and when they looked like they were trying to get an idea of what they had with real meaningful combinations. Not the case tonight. Not the case when it came to some of these guys. And frankly, if you're rooting for the team, I think you do like to see it. You do like there to be at least some marching orders early to say, hey, I do trust you guys. I want to be able to see what you have. I know you haven't been playing very much, and when we're playing the Lakers team that is just completely undermanned, this is going to be a night where it's not even a roll of the dice. It's we can see what we have, and we can just get you guys some run because there's situations that come up in the NBA season where you need your guys to step up. It's nice to have them had recent playing time, and when that's the case, you don't want them to be coming in like completely cold, even though that might be the case with a few of these guys. But we've seen the minutes tick up with a couple of these dudes in recent games. And specifically, I'm talking about Patty Mills and Cam Thomas. Now, these guys had really, really been at the end of the bench this season. Mills had felt all but buried. Thomas had felt really buried. They're among the lowest Nets in terms of overall minutes this season. Cam Thomas was only at 400 minutes or 432. Patty Mills at only 355. Most of for those guys was garbage time stuff. I mean, or that Pacers game where they ran a million minutes because everyone sat. These have been guys that just haven't really been part of the Nets plan this season. It doesn't feel like it's getting starting to question about what Cam's future is with the team and the way that they're running him, this game aside. And Patty Mills, you know, even though they brought him back in the two-year contract for right around $6.8 million, he's not really been part of what they wanted to do really at all in any circumstance. And it's hard to, you know, can't really fault them. I mean, a little undersized, you have other shooters that are just a little bit more dynamic on the ball. He just doesn't really do anything better than some of the other guys they have. And frankly, with his stature, there's just a few things that he does worse than the defensive end. Now, that being said, these guys come into this game and kind of lit it up, and you love to see it. They both end up closing. They're both part of the closing lineup. It's Kyrie, Cam, Patty Mills, Royce O'Neal, and Nick Claxton. So they go really super small against this Lakers team. Lakers team's not going to space you. You're not going to be closing out any of these guys. They don't have really anything in the way of dynamic ball creators outside of Westbrook, whatever you think of him. So this is a situation where playing Mills and Thomas a lot of minutes, it's not going to be really, really detrimental for the reasons that you might not see them playing large chunks of minutes in other games against, you know, really high quality teams that are going to find them out in switches and take advantage of their maybe lack of defensive prowess. But in this game, 15 for 30 from the field, 8 for 13, these are combined, 15 for 30 from the field, 8 for 13 from three. They combined for 42 points, 21 each, really efficient scoring, looked very confident, looked like they probably got the word early that they were going to be playing. And that's maybe just for these guys an exciting prospect. And you're going against a team who's not going to put up much in the way of a defensive, really just even defensively speed bump. Lakers, one of the worst defenses in the league and really, really one of the worst teams when they don't have AD on the court or, and you know, effectively LeBron, although his defense has been called into question at times. I'm not calling LeBron into question. That's just kind of where it is. The Lakers on the season are, they're 20th in defensive efficiency. With Cam, with Patty Mills, I don't think this is going to be something you see repeat over the short term or really the long term. I think this was probably in that the context around this game was such that Jacques Vaughn felt like they could run bigger minutes in this one, felt like they weren't going to be overmatched defensively, felt like this was probably a good chance to get them a decent amount of burn. I think that there was also probably something of a hot hand thing going on with who they ended up closing. Cause like I said, early in the game, everyone got to play. We did see some there, obviously Yuta Watanabe is part of the rotation. So, but I do think there was a hot hand aspect to what these guys were doing because they were shooting pretty well, because it felt like the ball was going down. It felt a little better keeping them on the court because they ended up playing both of them more minutes than the starters when it comes to the, I'm going to call it the two and three. Seth Curry in this game only plays 22 minutes. Joe Harris only plays 18 minutes. His minutes have really kind of been all over the place of late. Neither of them were shooting all that well. So maybe it's more of a anti-Curry, anti-Harris thing than it is pro-Mills, pro-Thomas, because those are the guys that were actually making shots. Seth Curry was 3 for 11, 0 for 5 from 3. Joe Harris, 1 for 5 from the field, but all of those were threes. So they combined to go 1 for 10, whereas the other guys, Cam and Patty Mills, shoot over 50% from 3. So maybe you feel like it's a hot hand situation, which, again, I'm totally fine with in a game like this. They should do this in these games. The NBA season is long. You want guys to feel like they're part of the team. You want guys to feel like they're part of the situation that's going on here. There's probably an increasing, especially, you know, for these guys, one in a veteran like Mills, who probably understands to some degree what's going on here, but a young guy like Cam Thomas, who some people have speculated at times is feeling frustrated with his overall role. I love seeing this from this kind of game. I don't think you're going to go out and learn anything about yourself against this Lakers team. I don't think you're going to be making any determinations about what you are as a squad with how you play against this Lakers team. Like, I don't think this is a learning for the playoffs kind of situation, even in the slightest. That's not a hot take. That's just is what it is. So in a situation like that, yeah, get these guys out there, get them playing, make them feel part of the team. They are part of the team. You might need them for actual real minutes later, depending on the injury situations surrounding some of these guys. So yeah. And in that particular night, they happen to be shooting well, then yes, keep them on the court. There's no feelings they're going to be hurt among the starters. A win is a win. And I think most Nets players probably see that situation for themselves for what it is at this point, which is a full team effort. So even with Curry and Harris shooting poorly, it's not their jobs are in jeopardy. They're not going to be moving to the bench anytime soon. Off shooting nights for both those guys, a commitment to playing the bench guys from early in the game, and a commitment to just probably stick with the guys who are actually making shots as the game went on. So I do like to see it. I'm curious what Nets folks out there think of, you know, those performances, if it actually tells you anything about either of these guys. To me, it really doesn't, except that it's nice to see that it can happen in games where you like to maybe save some miles on a few of these guys, that you can trust what can come in off the bench in terms of playmaking. You can trust what's going to come in off the bench in terms of shot creation and just shot making as well. So that was the case with these guys. And I think from a high level standpoint, you didn't really learn much, but from just an overall team perspective, you have to kind of like what you saw with that. All right, going to close it out. A few other notes to kind of put in here. Thanks for everyone that's over on YouTube. We'll hang out for a few extra minutes over on YouTube. If you're listening on the podcast feed, just remember you got to subscribe over on YouTube because we're doing extra stuff. This is a live show on YouTube, so there's folks all over the chat room throwing in questions. You put Locked On Nets in the chat. I'll try to answer a few questions on the way out. Didn't even mention Kyrie Irving really up to this point. I'm going to mention him in one second just to talk about him. I feel like with this Kyrie situation, with the way Durant, especially with Durant having been out, we talk about Kyrie a ton. It's right. Like, he's the best player on the team. He's been amazing for most of the time that Durant has not been here. So to get this far into an episode where Kyrie had another very, very nice night from the field, and effectively led them to a win by playing a lot of minutes, to not talk about him up to this point feels a little silly. But I did want to mention De'Ron Sharp, because Sharp ends up playing 21 minutes in this game, backup minutes to Claxton, but early backup minutes. And it wasn't because of foul trouble, right? Like, these were planned minutes for Claxton to come in and play against the team in the Lakers, who this matchup lines up really, really well for him. He's not going to be forced to switch a ton. They don't have a bunch of guys that can, you know, take advantage of him on switches. They don't have a bunch of guys that are going to be perimeter threats for him. He's going to be able to sort of hang in the paint, bang bodies with guys like Bryant, Wendy and Gabriel, dudes like this that are just, you know, at his level, or probably maybe with Bryant a little bit above, but not light years above where De'Ron Sharp is. And then Gabriel, you know, whatever. So this was a good job on the coaching staff. This was the perfect game to get De'Ron into the mix and not have him really be able to see what he does well. And the things that he does well is he plays very physical. He plays with high energy. He can get after it on the offensive rebounding glass, which is something that the team in general has struggled with this season. That is actually one of his core just skills. He has been one of the best per minute rebounders in the league when he's been able to actually play minutes. And he had 8 offensive rebounds in this game. And with him, the rebounding really actually just mostly and all, I mean, he has good feel around the basket when it comes to getting on the boards. He also just has a ton of energy, and that makes up for a lot when it comes to some of this rebounding stuff. So it was nice to see De'Ron get in here. I will say that I probably don't feel like it was learning anything new about him, except that we already knew he could do some of these things pretty well, or at least at an above average sort of rate. He has not been a guy that they have wanted to play a lot of minutes, even with KD injured. I thought we would see more of Sharp over this time as backup five stuff, and specifically without Simmons, just because he had been running backup five. They still haven't had a total commitment to wanting to play De'Ron for whatever reason. I'm sure the reasons are somewhat extensive. He did get 14 minutes against the Knicks and gets 21 in this game. And like I said, this 21 was definitely part of the plan. Like, it was a part of the plan was to play him these minutes, just because I think they thought the matchup was going to favor him. He's going to be able to protect the rim good enough against the guys like Westbrook who want to get to the rim, guys like Dennis Schroeder that want to get to the rim. They're not perimeter threats. They're not mid-range threats. Like, they're not guys that are like super, like I said at the beginning, they're ball dominant, but they're not creative. Those are the kind of guys that can get guys like De'Ron in trouble. So that wasn't going to be a problem. It's not like they had any real huge bodies around the rim that are elite offensive talents. So that wasn't really going to be a problem. Their wings aren't very good. Like, Roy Hachimura just basically wants to take long twos. So this really did set up as a perfect game for De'Ron, to kind of just dust some of it off and play real minutes and actually look, you know, effective. And I think that's another good thing for this team to be able to see that he's just, again, like I said at the beginning, is just part of the team. Like, we are going to call on you to play some real minutes against real NBA guys. We trust that from you. This game sets up really nice for your skill set, and let's go out and just get after it. And he got after it. 8 offensive rebounds, 14 boards in total in just 21 minutes. The dude is an elite guy on the glass when he's given the opportunity. He's still a foul machine, 5 fouls in just 21 minutes, all of them legit, but 2 blocks, a steal, did score 8 points. It doesn't look completely under control at times, and I think that's just kind of what we've come to expect from a guy like Sharp. I do still think there's some upside in his game. I still think with more time on the court, he can be just an effective NBA center, if not, you know, not a superstar or anything like that, but, you know, get real minutes in the league on the right team. I think that's kind of in his range of outcomes. And this was just a nice job to, I know Adam's gonna be annoyed because Adam loves De'Ron Sharpe and loves just when he plays and being able to talk about him and just kind of root for him. That's just how he's felt about Sharpe since the beginning. So I'm sure he's a little bit annoyed to not be on the podcast, to be able to, and when Sharpe actually goes out and puts up some real stats, but hey, them's the breaks. That's sometimes did the wrong solo episode. Okay. Kyrie, look, Kyrie's Kyrie, man. Like what can he say about this guy at this point? He's carried the team. He has another effective game here. He scores late when they really need him to, hits the back-breaking three from the corner on a ball the Nets probably shouldn't have had because Pat Beverly was correct that had gone off the Nets, but they get it back. He daggers them from the corner, and that's basically it. I don't think it would have mattered either or anyway. The Nets were really on their way to winning this game. With Kyrie playing 39 minutes, I don't think that probably was part of the plan, judging by the run that everyone else had. I also don't think that these guys are ever like worried about running Kyrie a ton because he's just not like that kind of guy. He's not a guy that they've ever really wanted to manage minutes around. I don't think they've had to manage his minutes. I don't think that's ever been talk. I mean, at times Kyrie's managed his own minutes just because of the nature of sort of stuff that's happened with him. But like, I don't think he's not the kind of guy that you worry about, like, has he been playing too much? I just don't think that's really just never been a talking point around him. It's like he can go out there and play 39 minutes and it doesn't feel like it's actually an overtaxing situation. That's just not the style of his game. That's not the way it's gone with him. And I will say, like, his 39 minute, this isn't a knock on him. It's just saying, like, some guys it's like the 39 minutes feels like an absolute total load to carry. With Kyrie, it looks kind of smooth and easy. And it doesn't feel like it's a situation where a ton of tread went off the tire. I just don't think that's the kind of player he's been. And I think that's why they probably feel comfortable in situations like this running him, even when everyone else kind of gets a half off night. Kyrie ends up playing 39 minutes and, you know, running the team to victory. And that's just the way it is. He's become an on-court leader for this team. He's been the part why they've been able to keep their head above water when it comes to the wins and losses. Even though, like I said at the beginning, it hasn't all looked perfect. They have now won four of their last six games. The loss to Detroit hurts, but the one against the Warriors you like. So maybe those two cancel themselves out. He's been a scoring machine. Scoring under 30 points in this game is a sort of a new thing for him. He had scored 30 or more in the previous six games. I don't think he needed to score any more than 26 because of guys like Cam and guys like Patty Mills were making all their shots. And you like to see that also. You like to see where they can win, where he only takes 16 shots, even against this Lakers team. That is a good sign. So when it's all said and done, a really nice team victory here. They had to win this one. This was a game that was going to be an unacceptable loss if the Lakers were somehow able to pull it out, but they didn't. That wasn't the case. And that's just the way it ends up going for the Nets. 121-104. Nice win for their last six. Kyrie leads the way. The bench guys get into it as well. And you take the W and away you go. Appreciate everyone that's jumped in on YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe on YouTube. That's where, you know, our bread gets buttered. Bread gets buttered on the podcast. Bread gets buttered on the YouTube. It's all free for you to help. There's no other commitment except to hit the like button. Maybe set the notification and you'll know when we go live. That's all you got to do. It really, really helps the show. We've seen the numbers grow a ton over the last year, specifically just like this last couple months. The numbers just continue to really ramp up. Really, really appreciative. So make sure you like and subscribe where you listen, and definitely subscribe on YouTube. We get to this point of the podcast, on the solo podcast, where it is always wishing that I had looked up a quote from one of the great American poets. That is what Adam is in charge of. I never do it. We always get to this point. That's why I need my partner back. I need Adam to break out a quote that's the perfect fitting quote from one of those great American poets that perfectly sums up everything we talked about. So I will just say, we'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.